Welcome to The Daily Degenerate, the ultimate sports and entertainment podcast for your busy life. My name is Cohen Hughes, co-host and producer, and I'm joined by Los Angeles' very own Maddie Goldberg. We appreciate you listening and hope you enjoy this episode.
Number 53 of the Daily Degenerate Sports Podcast. I'm Maddie Goldberg in cold as fuck Los Angeles. It's under 60 degrees. My ass is freezing. I got a blue ass. And I'm with, not only then, the main man from Smyrna, Georgia, Sex. Stein, what do you think of him? Sexy guy?
Handsome, I guess.
Take it away.
First off, I am not a nice-looking young man. I am the professional devil's advocate. I am the Michael Rapaport of the South. I am Podcast Poppy. And I am the Johnny Sins of podcasting. Ladies and gentlemen.
Johnny Sins?
He just asked if you were the porn star Johnny Sins.
I am the porn star Johnny Sins. You're looking at him live in the flesh. My fuck style is crazy. My name's Cohen Hughes. Maddie Goldberg, I see you got a guest. Who we got?
That is Prime Time 99 Stein, former captain of Midland High School, Highland Park High School, where Jerry Jones' grandson broke a lot of records, where Matt Stafford was his quarterback, where Clayton Kershaw was his center, and where he... How many sacks did you have in your senior season?
I think I had like 12 sacks.
He had 12 sacks his senior season. He also got a penalty because he pretended to urinate on a quarterback like a dog.
Yeah, that's true.
Then Atlanta Falcon, he played 1 year college ball at South Florida. And a famous Atlanta Falcons ran him the fuck over. Who was that?
It was Steven Nicholas. They called him Snake. He drafted, I forget what year it was. It must have been like 2007 or 8. Look him up. Steven Nicholas. Atlanta Falcons.
The Snake ran him the fuck over.
Can you see me right now? Am I on the camera?
Can you see him?
So let me ask you fine fellers a question on this beautiful Sunday night. 10:42 for me, I assume. 7:42.
Yeah, you're good. You get 3 hours difference.
How many brownies have you guys eaten today? Have you guys been going hard on the edibles?
I had one medicinal cookie or something, but it's a recreational deal out here, so it's totally legal. It's pretty wide open, you know.
I'm not the FBI. I'm not.
I know, but I'm just saying it's a lot different than Georgia. You know, I don't really act like this that much in Dallas, but, you know, it gets wide open in California. So, you know, I mean, if they got a little, you know, what we call a magic cookie, you know, sometimes it's fun to just.
Well, for me.
To see what the deal is.
For me, when you combine it with a smoke and a joint and eating it, it's like 10 times the dose. So I usually just take it without smoking. So I'm like on times. I've been all fucked up all day watching the game. I nod off and then the play happens and I wake up. I know how to magically nod off during the huddle and then wake up for the center and the snap. I'm pretty amazing. So here was Stein.
Brett Favre had the same talent. Brett Favre could do the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm painkillers. Now I'm here with Stein. He flew in from Dallas to watch the game yesterday. He got taken in a service entrance. His Cowboys kind of got manhandled.
Definitely got manhandled. The Cowboys got manhandled, and let me tell you something. If you don't know that atmosphere at the, you know, Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum, it was like the barrio on Sesame Street, but in real life. I mean, with tattoos and, like, illegal marijuana smoking. I saw multiple people taking key bumps of cocaine, like, obvious gangbangers. I mean, just a lot of degenerate people because I was in the worst stands of the stadium, in the cheap seats, because – like Maddie said, I paid a guy outside to take me through the service entrance. And so it was just a really nightmarish atmosphere as a Cowboys fan because they got totally taken, you know, right up the bum from the Rams. I mean, reverse cowgirl, no Vaseline, like, I mean, really bad. And just, It was a really horrifying, nightmarish experience. I hate that I came and flew here. I'm really depressed about it.
Oh, he's been driving me nuts all day. He's like, everybody thinks I'm an idiot for doing this. I'm a fucking idiot. I just want to tell him to shut the fuck up. I can't take him.
Well, look, how many times in your life can you pay money to travel to L.A. to watch Jason Garrett clap his ass off? That's a National Geographic. Hey,
excuse my French. I mean, my life is over. I don't even know. I'm like going to – you know what? I'm honestly thinking about on the flight just trying to open the exit door to get some attention. Maybe somebody will reach out because I'm so emotionally disturbed from this Cowboy season. And that's how I might reach out for help.
Well, don't wear the Cowboys hoodie because nobody will reach out to save you if you're wearing the Cowboys hoodie.
I know, that's true. I know. Everybody's been looking at this hoodie like I'm the biggest asshole in America. Like I'm Donald Trump or something. Like they look at this like it says, make America great again. I mean, literally, I'm like, it's like poison. It's like Bird Box. If they look at me, they become a demon.
Well, I got to just say one thing about Stein is that he's been on a lot of reality shows. He was on The Glass House. He was on Worst Cooks in America. Which a critic said he's the type of guy that would chew tobacco out of his asshole if he could.
Yeah.
That was the most creative quote about you. What did you have to think when you heard when you read that?
I mean, it's probably true. I mean, I've never butt funneled, but I've always kind of wanted to dabble in butt stuff like butt funneling because like plugging, medicinal plugging. I've always wanted to take my temperature that way. I don't know. I pass a lot of gas. I mean, I'm into just my ass. You know?
This is Matt Stafford, why he sucks in the pros, because this was his captain in high school, man. But your greatest moment, in my opinion, was when you were on the show, what was it called, Sweet Home Alabama?
Oh, yeah.
So Sweet Home Alabama was a reality show where they took really hot girl from the South, and there was 10 city slickers and 10 cowboys, and then she had to decide to pick one. And he was a city slicker because he was a car salesman from Dallas. And you kept flipping off. Where did it take place? Where was it in Georgia?
It was in Fairhope, Alabama, on the beach, on the bay of the Alabama.
So he got in a fight with the old man. It was the old man's house, and like you're supposed to like respect the old man. And by episode two, he's like, "Fuck you, old man. Let's fight, old man. Fuck you, old man."
No, it's actually a pretty embarrassing story. I mean, it's not like something I would like to rehash, but. Yeah, like I verbally assaulted an elderly man who owned the property that we were filming a TV show and kind of forced my hand off the show. But at the time, I was actually in a relationship with a girl, so I kind of planned on doing something, you know, outrageous to get kicked off because it's a fake show. But I just got too wound up too early and kind of just like, prematurely ejaculated, for lack of a better word.
You know, he kept flipping off what I learned is you never flip a man's cowboy's hat off.
Oh, yeah.
So you kept – every time a cowboy had, like, a hat on, he'd, like, flip it. And this guy comes back from a date where he, like – he probably was a virgin, and he kissed a girl. And he came back to the house, like, so happy. Everybody's like, "What's the details, you dirty dog?" And he's like, "She's so nice." And he was like that puppy love feeling. And then Stein just comes over and flips the fucking guy's cowboy hat off. And it turned into a fucking brawl.
Yeah, it was. I mean, we were close to just nailing each other in the face. But there's so many dudes and so much dude
sweat.
Like,
he wanted to fight you, right?
Yeah, he wanted to fight me, but there's a lot of dude muscle in between. And everybody's kind of like butt buddies. It's weird. It's kind of a weird experience being on a show with a lot of guys trying to date one girl. But, yeah, I would flip their caps, and he always tried to really fight. It was just nasty in the house with a lot of guys, like, farting and shitting and – it was probably one of the worst experiences I've ever done in my entire life.
Worse than yesterday?
Oh, well, no. Yesterday was worse than the TV show. At least the TV show, I got to eat, got to drink a little bit, got to chill a little bit. You know, I got to do my little dilly-dilly on the tilly-dilly, what I like to say.
Yeah, he's so fucked up. And then I showed him Gus's videos from his house, like, "Punta Cowboys! Punta Cowboys! Fuck the Cowboys!" And he was like, "Yeah, those were the people at the game yesterday. That was pretty much..." Like watching the video of Gus drowning the Jack Daniels, saying "Cowboys on my beaches," like that was the people he was sitting next to at the game yesterday.
So if anybody doesn't know who we're talking about, one of our best friends who listens to the podcast,
loyal fans,
he's a fucking awesome dude. We all feel the same as him, but he's actually willing to act it out. When it comes to sports fandom, like, he drank a whole handle of Jack Daniel's honey by himself last night, it seemed.
Well, the Rams won. He had to celebrate. And his dad was doing the...
Imagine if the Rams had lost.
His dad was doing the Elliott eating. Did you see that video where his dad's doing the eating thing? That was incredible.
He was, like, filming the dad, like, calling him the old man. Like, dude, Gustavo's a funny fucking dude.
And then he's got, like, an 8-year-old daughter, and she's just sitting there, and it's just like, Fuck the Saints!
Yeah. Like, it's a grimy atmosphere, and I love it.
Oh, it's the best, man.
Yeah, grimy is the best way to describe the atmosphere.
It's awesome. Grimy. It's awesome. The problem with the LA Coliseum, too, is no internet, no replays. Your phone doesn't work in there. Old seats. The rows are like a million miles long. Like when people get up, everybody has to walk up. Everybody's standing up. It's a fucking disaster.
I mean, it's a shit show, for lack of a better word, a clusterfuck. Like, certain entrances go to certain sections. They're redoing it. And, like, I like Hispanics. You know, I like to keep it real. But just the influence of gangbangers.
All right.
was really very intense.
All right. We don't need to get all build a wall in here, Stein.
I'm not saying about building a wall. I'm just saying there's black gangsters, white gangsters, drug users.
Asshole, so.
No, there's just a lot of degenerate people, and I was one of them. I mean, it was like a red light district. I mean, it was messed up. I mean, I saw kids smoking cigarettes. I think I saw a baby with a face tattoo of a teardrop because his dad was dead because he did auto asphyxiation from masturbating in the closet. Just weird shit. That was the vibe in the whole stand. It's like everybody's dad suicided themselves while masturbating.
This is a guy who smoked way too much weed today. Like, what happens, he doesn't get weed in Dallas, and then he went to the weed shop, and he, like, I gave him a taste of the edibles last night, and then today he just fucking, he's like, he's on way too many. It's actually making me feel better, because I'm always depressed, and, like, seeing him all depressed, and he gained a lot of weight, it makes me feel a lot better about my life. Like, seeing him being, and it's like a sad story, because this guy's 6'3". He played a year at South Florida. He said he dressed for one game. You would think if you dressed for one game, you would know who you played and whether you won or lost. He doesn't remember who he played.
No, I do, but who? I just don't want to get into my college career because it's not.
Just say who you played.
No, I don't even want to get into it, Matty. I don't really want to talk about my college career.
So he doesn't remember who he played.
I remember about 2 or 3 hashes. All right. A very bad time in my life.
All right. Well, much better time now. I guess we should get into the games. Where should we start? From the beginning of the week or the end with Philly, New Orleans?
No, let's start at the beginning.
Stein's taking a break. He's out of it. I love him.
All right, Stein.
He's going to bed, I think.
Yes. I need to get my rest.
You know what happened, dude? He hasn't taken, like, the first time you ever take, like, edibles or chocolate, you can be, like, he's, like, 230, 240 or whatever. Like, when it hits you, it hits you. Like, you're not prepared. You have to build your tolerance. And his tolerance is, like, of, like, a little puppy. So he's just gone. So just telling you that. So fucking best.
I could see that.
Yeah, I don't know what he's talking about by auto fixation, all that shit. I don't know what the fuck he's talking about. But I'm probably better to get him off because he was probably going to say something really, really inappropriate.
He already did a few times.
Yeah.
Just know, ladies and gentlemen who listen to this podcast, we do not stand by his statements. His statements are his and his own, and he is not, other than this episode, he is not affiliated with the podcast. We love him.
Well, he's
we
probably still a lot
responsible.
He's probably said a lot worse things on reality shows. He basically, like, wore women's underpants on the glass house. He told a girl her poop stinks. I mean, trying to fight a 7-year-old man was probably the best. When he was, like, in the face of an old guy going, fuck you, old man.
Whose house they were staying at.
I can't find those clips anymore. If somebody can find me Sweet Home Alabama with Primetime 99 Stein. You know, like, I think they cut him out of the episodes because he was so badly behaved. And it was just so wrong and inappropriate. But he's got thrown off, like, 3 or 4 shows.
So let me ask you a question. Did him acting like that, like, all crazy, did that get him more gigs? Did that get him more appearances
on
other shows?
No, only reality shows.
No, but like they, on other shows, like do they see that and they're like, "Hey, we need one hothead for this next season. Can we call
Yeah,
him?
Pretty much. Yeah, I would say so. They know what they're getting with him, and it's sad because what would happen is he would do something, and then like it would catch a little press, and then people would rip on him, and he'd be like a villain on the internet. And I was his friend, and I know him well. I know he's a good guy, and he's just like trying to ham it up for the camera. And I'm like, "Well, what happened?" And he's just like, "The producers were like, you're hysterical, keep going, you're going to be a star, this is so funny." And they know they're just getting, you know, they're just using him as a rise, you know, as like as a punchline. And it's kind of a bummer. And, you know, he played the game for a bunch. But, like, they enjoyed when he took the villain role as, like, oh, the people that people love to hate. And when I watch those shows, if there's not a guy like him on it, I don't watch it. Like, I watch it for a jackass like him. I mean, he's so out of it. He went to bed. He slept all day today.
You guys are funny as hell.
He spent awesome $120 on weed today, too.
Is it all used? Has it all been used up?
Probably not, because it's all edibles. And if he did that, he'd be dead. Just know that, like, the first time I ever took edible, I took a drop. And I was a goner. Like, I was like, it was the scariest thing. I was never going to take it ever again. And then you take it again. And then you take it again. And then you just build up a tolerance. So I've built up quite a tolerance. He has no tolerance. This is all new to him. And it's like hitting him like a ton of bricks. So just a warning. When you guys come visit me, a lot of you guys are going to want to do edibles with me. Like, come out here. You haven't done them. You're going to be fucked up because Alex Stein is a fat fuck. And he's, you know, he's a mess right now.
It seems like it should not just right now. He's a mess.
And it sucks that, like, I was asking him, like, what was your game like when you played South Florida? And he won't fucking tell me. I mean, you would think, you as a sports guy, you'd probably wish you could play sports. Like, you grew up in the same town as fucking the quarterback on the fucking Clemson. You wish you could be that guy. You're better looking than him, but you wish you could be him. And, you know, if you played one game in college football, you would damn well fucking know everything about that fucking day.
Yeah, agree? I sure would.
So for him to be like, I don't remember. Like, who'd you play? I don't remember. What was, like, warm-ups? Did you, like, warm up? I don't remember. The fuck? Give me something.
At least make something up.
Yeah, say you play Florida State and you fucking
have the game winning
sack. You sacked fucking Charlie Ward, or you sacked I don't even know what playing quarter Christian Ponder. I don't know if you remember Christian Ponder, great NFL quarterback. You remember Christian Ponder?
Yes, I do. Play for the Vikings, correct?
Yeah, his wife is Sam Ponder.
Never heard of her.
You never heard of Sam Ponder?
She hot.
She works for ESPN.
Oh, maybe I've seen her before. I'm
Samantha Ponder. She hosts a show, Countdown. What are you watching?
ESPN, ironically enough.
Well, concentrate.
The pot calling the kettle black.
You know the thing? I'm concentrating. I'm entertaining people. You know the funny thing about
You're
Stein?
Entertaining me.
The funniest thing about Stein is he's so out of it. And he's like, you're doing your introduction, and he's stoned, and he's, like, looking at you like you're, like, a cartoon or something. And he's, like, smoked weed. He's like, what the fuck is going on? And you see the Johnny Sins. And his eyes light up. Because you know this guy jerks off all the time.
All the time.
And he was like, he's like, Johnny Sins, the porno? And that, like, it almost, like, sobered him up to hear Johnny Sins. Do you hear everything I'm saying? Oh, stop it.
What'd he say?
He said I'm being an asshole.
You are.
I'm teasing him. He knows he knows I love him. He knows I dearly, dearly love him. Stein, do you know I love you? All right, I'm going to shit on myself. I'm a loser. I hate my life. I've been stoned all day, staring at the wall, watching sports highlights. Looking on dating apps, writing to girls, saying the same dumb lines over and over,
not getting any response. So, yeah, I'm a piece of shit worse than Stein. Stein at least has a girlfriend. Stein's a good man. He's a great guy. I'm goofing on him because I love him, and he's a little sensitive tonight. Because
he's high. He's overthinking everything.
Yeah, he knows I love him. He knows nobody loves him more than I do. Then I'll tell you something else. He thought his dad died. Stein, can I tell that story?
What?
Alright. So, he wakes up in the morning and people are calling him like, we haven't heard from your father. And like, your dog's got in a fight. Like, his dad's dog's got in a fight and one's at the vet. And nobody knows where his dad is. So he's freaking out. And I've watched these like 48-hour shows. This is how it always happens. It's like, nobody knows where he is. The dogs are fighting. They find blood all over the place. And I'm even like getting nervous. He's freaking out. It just so happens his dad got some pussy. And his dad was like, he needed to get laid so bad he didn't even care about the dogs.
That was the worst story I've ever heard in my entire life.
Well, he was nervous and I was nervous too. And then he got a call and his dad's like, yeah, I was at some chick's house.
This happened recently? This happened like yesterday?
This happened this morning.
God almighty.
Yeah. But we were freaked out. I mean, I was freaked. He was like, I'm going to fly back to Dallas right now. And his dad's like, no, I'm just getting some action. That's what happens, man. When you got some action, like, all shit goes out the window. Like, you don't care about where people, like, you forget to tell people that you're okay, where they are. You turn your phone off. Like, you're just in a whole other world, man.
Maybe for you fucking addicted degenerates, but. Me,
I'm not a classy guy like you.
A classy guy like me, at least.
Well, I
can't
believe
that.
It seems like every team except the Eagles, every road team didn't show up this week. Like, their legs were a little tired. Like, the teams with the byes had the fresher legs. Well, that's obvious. But it seemed more than usual. Like, it was just such an advantage of the teams with the byes this week. Except for the Saints, it took a while to get going. And then they kind of shut the Eagles down. Chiefs Colts. I couldn't take the Colts jumping off sides, man. It was terrible.
Mm-hmm. Too many penalties. They didn't come to play. Even Quentin Nelson got pushed around a lot.
Yeah, and Adam Vinatieri, man, what a game he had.
That's how you knew the game was going to take that weird turn, when Vinatieri missed an extra point and that field goal.
That easy field goal. So it looks like the Chiefs looked pretty good. They didn't win that convincing. And then, I guess we should go to the Patriots and Chargers. I kind of knew this was going to happen. I was high on the Patriots. I know when everybody starts doubting them, everybody says, this is it. This is over. This is not the same team. This is the Chargers' year. I know the Chargers barely beat Lamar Jackson, and now they got to play Tom Brady. They had to play two tough road games in a row, and this is where the Patriots kind of – they play a little possum, and then they just fucking torch you.
And what was really intriguing about this game to me, and I'm not the super most X's and O's football guy, but I'm good with concepts. You know, like if you explain it to me like I'm five, I can get it. The Patriots actually brought back an old defensive formation that they had barely used since the early 2000s, and they would just stack up every guy on the line pretty much. They would put one guy, one safety deep in coverage. And they would just...
They were blitzing.
They were bringing pressure. They were even running man at the line. And they were stopping the run like rabid dogs. And they were... What I'm trying to say is they came with a super crisp and fresh and unbeatable game plan, to where it made Anthony Lynn's game plan irrelevant, no matter what he did. Because
absolutely.
They
just saw like... Just see with Tom Brady, where he's third and three, he knows where, you know, Edelman's going to be. He knows the running back that's going to be wide open. Like, he just knows the matchup, and it's so hard to beat him because the preparation is done at the line, and it's like he knows where he's going before the play starts. And when you see guys like Kirk Cousins, they have no idea what they're doing. It's like Kirk Cousins calls a play, and he's waiting for guys to get open. I mean, Brady knows who's getting the ball, you know, but while he's at the line, and there wasn't much the Chargers could do. It was not even – the score was 20, but it wasn't even a 20-point game.
No, it wasn't.
It was a very boring game. I was actually going to not even watch the second half, which was shocking. But it was that much of a blowout. And then the Chargers scored some points with some garbage time touchdowns. It didn't really matter. And it was just a total beatdown.
Yeah. Belichick came to play. The rest of the Patriots came to play. I didn't think that they would air it out as much. Tom Brady threw the ball, what, 45 times? He was, I think, like 35 for 45.
I mean, it was so many, like, offensive plays, like, you wouldn't even know. I mean,
the
combination, Sony Michel had a good game.
Excellent game. Three touchdowns in the first half.
James White had a great game. Edelman had a great game.
James White, and, like, 15 receptions, which is a playoff record.
And even, like, the Gronk, he gets this big pass interference, then a giant block on a big pass play. And then he gets that one pass where he takes down a couple guys. Mm-hmm. Like, he gets in the open field and he's going to knock a few guys over. Probably his last game in Foxborough before he goes to professional wrestling. This was the beatdown of the day. And it's kind of like that feeling where all these people that were, like, writing the epitaph or the eulogy of the fucking Patriots, you know, not so fast.
No, definitely not. And scouring the message boards and all the Reddit, Facebook, Instagram, all the fan side forums, all the radio YouTube clips, even people in Boston were starting to doubt and start to kind of usher in the new kind of, oh, well, maybe Brady and Belichick are done. But absolutely not. It was just a clean cut, dry beatdown. The game was won on paper before the week even started. Bill Belichick is an absolute savant.
And they played almost possum. They wanted to lull everybody into thinking that they're done, that this is not the same team anymore.
It's pacing. All it is pacing. They're just saving their energy for
And their
really
defense
matters.
Is better than last year, and dare I say they're more improved without Matt Patricia.
I don't know if Patricia was a solution or a subtraction sign. What really steps up for the Patriots this year are the McCourty twins. They've been playing great this year. Who's the guy? He's going to be the head coach of the Dolphins. The
Flores,
linebackers coach
Brian
for the
Flores
Patriots.
Is great, yeah.
Dude,
which is going to be a big loss.
Yeah,
big loss.
Hell yeah! He called a great game today because he was the
and they've had less talent. Day. The last few years, their talent is not as much as it's been, but they've gotten more production out of the guys. You know, the Patriots have this weird new theory of defense where they don't blitz a lot, and they basically figure out, look, offenses are so good, they're going to get their yards. What we got to do is hope for a holding call, get a third and long, don't blitz, guard the line, and get off the field because we have Tom Brady. So for the last, you know, 10, 15 years, their defense has been more bend, don't break, you know, not necessarily dominant. But today, you know, aside from the garbage scores that the Chargers had, which I don't really count, I mean, they were dominant.
Absolutely. Melvin Gordon couldn't get started in the run game. There was somebody in Phillip Rivers' face all day, which is the one formula to wreck Phillip Rivers is to put people in his face.
Well, now people are going to blitz him like crazy.
Oh yeah, because he's too old. He can't move. Like, that's the really the one way you can beat Phillip Rivers outside of perfect coverage. Just hats off to what the Pats did today, dude. Like, it's easy for the Pats, you know, home game, won the divisional 9 straight times. You know, like, it's at home. I had a week off, whatever easy narrative you can put around it. Hats off to the game plan that they put up because that was a perfect game plan on paper.
And now we go to the NFC. The Rams had a pretty fairly easy time, I guess, with the Cowboys. I mean, the Cowboys put up a fight, but I never saw the game in, like, dire, close, you know, like where the Rams are in trouble. Mm-mm. I will say one of the best pickups has been C.J. Anderson because he's got these fresh legs and – there's kind of like a two-headed running back machine now where CJ and Gurley are very different runners, but it makes both of them more effective. I mean, it's a giant pickup. A guy who got cut twice this season is now a very, very important part of the Super Bowl run and a very, very, you know, part of the Rams if they're going to make it to the Super Bowl, what their success is going to be. Like, it's extremely important.
Yep. And being able to give Todd Gurley some rest is huge, especially some guy to take the pressure off the load from him.
Well, he's hurt a little too.
Yeah, yes. Well, so is everybody else. This is the NFL and playoff time. I think I definitely agree with you that signing is huge, but this is one of those things that like doesn't get noticed because like defenses think that they can take a down off with Gurley on the sideline, you know, like maybe kind of play for the pass. But now that you have a verified second runner, your offense is opened up, and that's the last thing that anyone else in the NFC or in the NFL wants to see is Sean McVay with a totally open offensive playbook.
Yeah, I mean, they're kind of getting back their mojo with what they had earlier. And, you know, that's what they – you know, it seems like all teams kind of get into, like, a slump, and then they kind of get their shit back together. And it seems like the Rams are getting their offense back into gear. And I don't know if the Saints are. The Saints, they were a little rusty. They didn't. Their defense, aside from the two touchdowns they gave up early, they really. I don't think the offense still is clicking like it did. They did what they had to do to win. I don't know if we're gonna see the same game we saw in. I think it was November or December between the two teams, which was an absolute classic.
Yeah, absolutely.
A high scoring fucking classic.
100%.
Yep. So that was that game, and then I guess what other game did we do all the games now, or what's up?
I think we did all the games. We did Eagles Saints. We did Chargers Pats. We did Rams Cowboys.
And I think what's kind of disturbing going is that the last few years we're seeing 1-2 matchups in the championships where there was more parity. The last few years has been 1-2 versus 1-2. It's been like that for the, you know, last few years, which I kind of like when you get like, you don't know who's going to make the Super Bowl. Like any team, any wild card weekend team can, you know, make it.
I think it has a lot to do with seeding and the 1 and 2s getting the bye. I think byes in football are the most important in any sport. Just because of the grueling physical toll it takes on the players' bodies. And I truly, and this is something that I say all the time, and even though I don't know the most about a football game plan going into a game on a day-to-day basis during the week, but yep. I don't think people realize how much work preparing for one game takes in football, especially in the NFL. That's 6 solid days of preparation and anticipation during the wintertime. After 17 weeks of a regular season, that is so much. That's why guys like Bill Belichick gets the credit that he does. It's because, for better or worse, there's very, very, very few a game where you look and say, oh, well, Bill Belichick's guys weren't prepared. They weren't.
No.
They weren't put in a position to win because they always
on a bye, they're always going to pretty much win. I think they've lost one game on a bye. That was the year versus the Jets. And 2010.
It was the Geno Smith?
Sanchez? That was just 2010, Mark Sanchez. You know, the Patriots were 14-2. It looked like they were going to come back to the Super Bowl that year, and they just shit the bed that game. It was kind of it was bitter because I didn't like the Jets, and Rex Ryan had a bravado, and the players were doing they were dancing on the Patriots. You know, the Jets have always been second-class citizens, so it was a big win to beat the almighty Tom Brady.
Yeah, a big in-your-face kind of thing.
But for the most part, yeah, Belichick, they were completely prepared. They had a great game plan. It wasn't close. And again, a lot of time with the public, this is what scares me about gambling, is the public is always fucking wrong.
Yeah, we're idiots.
Listen, the Colts game, I was high in the Colts. The spread went from 5.5 to 4.5. They got fucking blitzed. They got blitzkrieged out of it. Mm-hmm. The Rams Cowboys spread stayed pretty much 7.5. Then the Chargers went down from like 4.5 to like 4 or even 3.5, and they got smoked. And then the Eagles, the Saints went from 8 to 8.5, and they lost. So where the public was going strong, they lost every one.
So I won. You told me that you had a pretty good weekend. I had a pretty decent weekend as well. I won about $130 today.
Nice.
Off of my weekend parlay for the NFL.
I saw. It was really cool.
And I got this is my strategy for weekends like this, where there's a lot of narratives lines. because even me and you agreed Andy Reid might find a way to piss away that game. You know, like home field advantage and Arrowhead, Andy Reid will find a way. What I did was, instead of being stupid, like me and you kind of are sometimes, and kind of buying into stupid
to money lines.
Stick to money lines. Don't get cute. Parlay four picks and stick to the fucking money line.
I have to tell myself
that all the time, dude. I'm the worst about trying to get cute.
I mean, if I kept the Saints at money line, I would have won a lot of money today. You know, because I was like, I woke up feeling really good about the Patriots. It was a 4-point spread. I felt like they were going to dominate the game. I was right on that. And then I thought the Saints were going to dominate the Eagles. I just thought the Eagles won too many close games. This was the game they were going to be tired out. And they really weren't. They had a lot of pride, and they were really great. They're a great champion. Like, this is how a champion goes out in a really tough game.
Jay Rayner, or as much as I hate Jay Rayner, I think you like him. Philadelphia did give us a good show this year, and they were a good champion. That's a great take. I love that you said that. So I was 4-0 on my NFL picks this weekend. I had Chiefs money line, which I was scared to take Chiefs with a spread, which I shouldn't have been, of course, because, you know, that narrative of Andy Reid pissing away playoff games that he has a lead in. Matty Goldberg, we back?
Yeah, sorry, I don't know what happened.
No worries.
I like Jay Rayner. I find him funny. I like when he goes after you. I like when he's crazy. And he was upset because I said the Eagles were going to get destroyed. And they certainly didn't. They had a chance to win it. They kept themselves in the game.
It shouldn't have been that close, but it was.
And then they had a ball where, Foles made a nice pass. Went through a guy's hands. It was picked off to end the game. And it pissed me off because, you know, that one field goal could have covered the big spread for me. Last run by Kamara got tackled on the ankles for a garbage touchdown. And I would have really hoped he didn't sit down at the 1 yard line.
Pull a Gurley.
A la Todd Gurley.
Yeah.
That would have destroyed me. So it wasn't the best weekend. You know, last year was much better. You had the fucking, you know, that one of the greatest games I'll ever remember is the Vikings Saints. There was a miracle game.
In Minneapolis.
Unfortunately, your Falcons lost to the Eagles that weekend.
Worst weekend of my life.
Who played the Patriots? Oh, yeah, the Jaguars killed the Steelers, too. That was a good game. That was, like, fascinating because it's like, what am I watching? The Jaguars are going to – you know, Blake Bortles is just bombing away the fucking Steelers. This is crazy. So much better year last year, to be honest.
Don't get me wrong. There was some quality football played, but the games just weren't good. The games weren't so competitive. Yeah, there was some good football played on one side here or the other, but the games weren't as competitive as we would like from an NFL divisional round.
I agree with you 100%, my friend.
Did you take any player props today?
I did not get any of them right. I usually do first touchdown. I usually go with long shots. I had Josh Reynolds in the Rams game. It was Amari Cooper. I forget who I had. Oh, I had a bunch of guys, a bunch of Colts, like Marlon Mack and a couple other guys. That, of course, didn't happen. Chiefs scored first. I believe it was Damian Williams, anything, and I just put a giant bet on the over of Dallas Rams. I just saw that as a high scoring game. I hit it, but it wasn't easy. I got a garbage TD. I needed that Cowboys garbage TD to cover at the end, which came down to a fourth down and a pass interference. So because of that, I was up 70 for the whole weekend. But without that game, I'm down 80 because I took a beating on the last game. I won some in New England, but all the whole, I'm up 80. I did shitty with the Chargers. I mean, the Colts and the Chiefs.
Yeah, so, I went 2-2 on player props today, just specifically in the first game, Chargers Pats. The two that I hit on, Chris Hogan pass receptions over 2.5. I think he had right at 3. Phillip Rivers over 0.5 picks, which means if he gets one pick, it's good, and that happened, of course. But I missed out on Tom Brady pass attempts under 35.5. I thought it'd be right at 28, 29, 30 pass attempts for the day, which, of course, he blew up. I think he had 35 completions.
Well, the scary thing about Brady is with his passes are like runs.
Yeah, no, they are. He's so many passes right at the line of scrimmage to James White. I think James White had 15 receptions today, which is
safe places
crazy
to throw the ball. Reason. Yep.
And then I also missed Gronkowski receptions over 3.5. I think he had 1.
Yeah, I would always go under with him. He's not the same guy. He's good for one catch. He's kind of a decoy now.
And me dumbly, like I'm saying, I try to get cute. I try to think, his last game in Foxborough, maybe Tom Brady and Belichick will throw him a bone. But
they don't give a fuck.
They throw him one bone.
They just care about winning.
Yep. Just win, baby. Who is that, just Al Davis?
Yeah. So any other news we should talk about?
It's been a pretty slow 3 days.
We got a great exclusive interview with Primetime Stein. How good was that exclusive?
Oh, my God. I'm talking, that was TMZ type shit. We got the inside scoop.
Yeah. He's in a bad mood, man. He's been in a bad mood all day.
I would be, too, if I spent goddamn $800 to go out to L.A. just to watch my team get butt rammed by.
And then, like, not even have, like, a real ticket. And then have to hang out with me.
Yeah.
We got wings today. We jerked each other off a little.
Hell, yeah. I'm on board. Tell me more.
Yeah. He didn't know what Johnny Sins was.
Yeah. No, you know that.
Yeah. So we got one more week of football, and I don't even count the Super Bowl. I mean, I love the Super Bowl,
that's
but
just one game. It's not a week of football.
It's where the other people come in and interfere what we love to watch. They come in, they tweet about fucking, you know, Bill Belichick and his comb over, or like Tom Brady is a loser. I don't, and then you're just like, dude, like stay out of it. Fucking tweet about Donald Trump. Don't tweet about my fucking sport. You know, I'm watching week 4. I'm watching every. I'm up at 6 a.m. watching these fucking London games. You people can taste my nuts.
If you people weren't with me that week 4, you know, waking up at 9 a.m. shotgunning beers, getting ready for early football, then you don't deserve the Super Bowl. You and the Associated Press can go stick your goddamn microphones up your butts. Okay.
I mean, this is Cohen Hughes. This is a guy who's writing. What everybody's writing about politics on Facebook, he's writing 40-page-long rants about Dan Quinn and how he should be fired. Now, that's a fucking sports fan. This is a guy who jerks off to when the Utah Jazz sign a 10-day contract to some backup point guard.
Oh, yeah. 100%. I'm over here watching replays of Utah Jazz games from 2010.
Oh, my God.
The Associated Press wants to tell me what Tom Brady had in his quinoa fucking salad. Eat my ass.
Well, you know what? You like Tom Brady. That when you get older and have a son, you might just kiss him like him.
Right on the mouth, sloppily.
Hey, man, if you could throw the ball like that and be a winner like that, you might as well do that, right?
No, absolutely not. Keep your mouth fucking wet, son kissing ass away from me, you Boston stupid fuck.
There he goes. There's the Michael Rappaport of the South. I've been waiting for that forever. Well, I think it's time that I should go. I think this week we'll preview the games even more.
We will.
We'll get into it. We'll talk a little. I guess we'll just focus on the NFL because it's coming down to 2 more games, and then we'll have to talk about other stuff when the NFL season. We'll have to focus on the NBA, college basketball, ice hockey. And then baseball, like, it's only a month away after the Super Bowl when we get spring training.
And don't worry, Maddie. I know that you love my questions, like what's your top five favorite movies? What do you eat for breakfast in the morning? So I'm going to have much more of those.
Or if you're like, on this day, this game happened, I can, because I'm an old fuck.
You're like, oh, I remember that, whenever Babe Ruth hit his fucking 800th home run.
Well, I was pretty good on, like, the catch and the freezer bowl and the whole playoffs.
And what was even better is you told me that they were during the same year before I even said that. You were like, yep,
yeah,
same.
I know my shit.
Both divisional games or whatever, you know?
Now, did you look up that hook and ladder?
No, I didn't. I completely forgot.
I gotta look up. It's the best hook and ladder you'll ever see.
Nah, the only thing I'm ever gonna look up that you show me is Mike Francesa getting trolled.
Well, those are the best. I got him into it too yesterday.
Really?
He was laughing. Stein was laughing with the Giants and the Giants call.
Yeah.
He couldn't stop laughing.
I think I'm gonna watch that video that you sent me again.
And he liked, how you doing? I'm doing good. Why are you calling? I
want
to know how you doing.
How you doing? He's just like, I heard you went on sandals to vacation. What'd you do there?
I went to Great Adventure on vacation too. Yeah. Well, why are you calling? Because I want to know how you're doing, because I'm doing good, and we're both doing good, so I want to know how you're doing, and not many people ask people how you're doing.
It takes a strong individual to be a sports radio talk show host in that cesspool of what they call the upper Northeast.
Yeah, I agree with that. The people there, they understand how to troll you, and they will.
Well, everyone's so fucking – imagine being one in, like, Pittsburgh or, like – I mean, like, New York. Like you're so tired from your fucking factory job working 12 hours a day. All you have to do is listen to FM radio on the way home and prank call Mike Francesa.
Hell yeah, man. It's a New York tradition. I mean, they have FrancesaCon. They get about 3,000 people. And they dress up like him, and they do impressions of him. I mean, he's become a folk hero because he's unintentional comedy.
Oh yeah, no, he's my hero.
He's my hero too. I mean, I love the ones. I love the one about the Bassmaster Classic.
That one was good. Like,
yeah.
All right, Matty Goldberg. Instead of reminiscing on Mike Francesa clips,
I'm in
comedy,
what have you been Tuesday doing? Night. I'm in Long Beach. Harvell's in Long Beach, Tuesday night, 8 o'clock. I know the Huzar brothers might be out there. Maybe Gus will be out there with his Ram crew. And dude, I told Gus I wanted videos. He delivered. He gave me inner fucking tainment.
Yep.
One day I will come out to his whatever the fuck he is. Sorry, my phone rings. One day I'll come out to whatever the fuck he is, and I'll party with his buddies. I'll party with his dad. And I'll watch the Rams game together. Or the Dodgers game and go, fuck you! Fuck you, motherfucker! Fuck you! Fuck you, Brewers! Fuck you, Braves! Fuck you, Chipper Jones!
He would. I guarantee you he would. On a Wednesday afternoon at Chavez Ravine at 7:30 at night. So, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Cohen Hughes, as you know. Find me on Instagram, Cohen_Hughes, or on Facebook, search Cohen Hughes. I don't do Twitter.
Oh, yeah. Find Stein. Can I give you – sorry to interrupt. Can I give Stein's Instagram?
Yeah, go ahead.
He might as well get something out of this because he's so out of it.
Are you going to give it to us?
Yeah, I'm getting it right now.
Give it to me, Matty Goldberg. Give it to me.
Why is my phone not giving anybody's? All right, his name is Primetime Stein. He goes by Primetime Stein. Prime Time, Stein. And he's on the beach with like a big fish or something. And his first picture, he's doing a karate chop at the game. Sitting up in the nosebleed. So follow my buddy Primetime Stein, one of the legends of all time of reality show. The captain of Matt Stafford's football team in high school, South Florida alumni, graduate of LSU, and all around awesome guy who blew his money.
All right. Well, ladies
Peace
and gentlemen,
out, buddy.
This has been Matty G. We love you. This has been episode 53 of the Daily Degenerate.